Penguin Random House Audio presents Zero Sugar Diet, the 14-day plan to flatten your belly, crush cravings, and help keep you lean for life, by David Zinczenko with Stephen Perrine. Read for you by Mark Deakins, with an introduction read by the author.
Introduction. Imagine for a moment that scientists discovered a new virulent virus. This virus caused chronic, unrelenting, irreversible obesity, and sufferers often went on to experience heart failure and liver damage, as well as blindness, arthritis, gout, and even cancer. Imagine, too, that the first symptoms of infection were fatigue and abdominal weight gain. You'd be pretty worried if you noticed your belly expanding and your energy waning, wouldn't you? Imagine that to diagnose this virus, doctors gave you a simple blood test that looked for elevated blood glucose, elevated blood pressure, and high cholesterol. And that once diagnosed, the virus was completely treatable as long as you caught it in time. Now imagine that doctors were being incentivized by big business and the government not to tell you that this virus exists and not to recommend the simple cure. And in fact, they go one step further, shaping dietary recommendations that cause the disease to spread. And as a result, one in three Americans was already infected and on his or her way to dying from the disease. If that seems far-fetched, it's not. In fact, it's pretty much what's happening today, with one small difference. It's not a virus that doctors are keeping quiet about. It's sugar. The zero sugar diet is the cure. By following this simple 14-day plan, you will quickly and efficiently bring your body into perfect balance and begin dropping excess pounds at a rapid pace. And in doing so, you'll discover a new way of walking through the world, one that keeps you safely out of the grasp of weight gain and one of the biggest diseases of our time. And you'll do it by eating foods you love. Yes, even foods from your favorite restaurants and supermarkets, even burgers, bacon, and pasta. You will flatten your belly, improve your health, and look, feel, and live better than ever. And you will set yourself up for a lifetime of effortless success. Zero sugar diet works because it targets the most virulent virus of all, added sugars. And it was developed with the cutting-edge recommendations of the world's most preeminent medical associations in mind. Earlier this year, the Food and Drug Administration announced approval of a new nutrition facts label, which includes a separate line for added sugars, forcing companies to list what's added and what's natural for the first time. And the U.S. Department of Agriculture, the World Health Organization, and the American Heart Association have all come out vociferously against added sugar. The AHA recommends no more than 100 calories per day from added sugars, or 6 teaspoons for women, and 150 calories, or 9 teaspoons, for men. And those recommendations make complete sense. New research suggests that for every 5% of total calories you consume from added sweeteners, your risk of diabetes increases by 18%. That means for the average woman who consumes about 1,858 calories a day, all you need to eat is 93 calories a day of added sugar to significantly boost your risk. There are 4 calories in a gram of sugar, so that means about 23 grams of added sugar per day will put you directly in the path of an oncoming diabetes train. And you don't have to live on Jolly Ranchers to reach that number. Here are some seemingly healthy foods that put you over your daily limit with just one serving. Dannon fruit on the bottom cherry yogurt, 24 grams. Quaker natural granola oats and honey, 26 grams. Power Bar Performance Energy Vanilla Crisp, 26 grams. Tazo Organic Iced Green Tea, 30 grams. Ocean Spray Cran Apple, 31 grams. The problem is, even if you're vigilant, even if you read the labels and make it a rule not to eat anything with more than 10 grams of added sugar, the numbers add up. Because sugar is in everything, especially foods it doesn't belong in, like bread, peanut butter, pasta sauce, salad dressing, and oatmeal. In the form of high fructose corn syrup, HFCS, it even coats the outside of your Advil caplets. Here's how easily your numbers can add up. Start your day with Quaker Instant Apple and Cinnamon Oatmeal, 9 grams of sugar per serving. Have a peanut butter sandwich for lunch with Jif, 3 grams. On Pepperidge Farm whole wheat farmhouse bread, another 3 grams per slice. And then enjoy a dinner of pasta with Ragu Old World style sauce, 6 grams of added sugars. It's the third ingredient after tomato paste and soybean oil. A simple salad with Kraft Zesty Lime Vinaigrette adds another 3 grams. No cookies, no ice cream, no cake, no soda, not even a single bite of chocolate. But you've consumed 27 grams of added sugars, or 6 3/4 teaspoons worth, more than what a woman should eat in an entire day. Doesn't that piss you off? Especially when none of those foods actually requires added sugar? It's the reason why, on average, we now get 22 teaspoons per day, 88 grams of added sugar, or about 4 times our safety limit. It's not just because we're chowing down on too many Little Debbies. It's because our healthy foods, like salads, oatmeal, and peanut butter, are being spiked with the same poison. Of course, your doctor has already gone over all of this with you. So, oh wait, she hasn't? How can that be? Virulent epidemic, plus medical consensus, plus simple remedy, ought to lead to an easy, universal cure. But there's a reason why you haven't heard about this issue from your doctor. That's why I had to write this book. The reason starts exactly 50 years ago, fueled by a conspiracy unveiled only just this year. How the sugar industry dug us into a hole. Open your mouth and take a look back there at your teeth. See any fillings? If so, you may consider cavities a normal part of growing up. But maybe you shouldn't. Back in 1966, President Lyndon Johnson wanted, as he put it, a, quote, national attack on disease and disability. To launch it, he asked all the directors of the various National Institutes of Health to submit documents showing that they had one or more diseases in their sights. Now, if you're the director of the National Cancer Institute or the National Heart, Lung, and Blood Institute, you've got plenty of diseases to go after. But what if you're the director of the National Institute of Dental Research, NIDR? You've pretty much got just one boogeyman to chase, and so the NIDR announced a targeted research initiative called the National Caries Program with the goal of eliminating cavities in children within 10 years. Imagine that. The U.S. government believed it could eliminate all cavities in children, 100% clean checkups, by the time Reese Witherspoon was born. The driving force behind this promise? Recent research that found that sucrose, table sugar, caused bacteria to adhere to teeth, causing decay. A combination of fluoridation, research into the bacteria itself, and most significantly, dietary modifications to reduce sugar consumption would end the plague of cavities within a decade, the NIDR's director claimed. As Mad Men's Don Draper advised, if you don't like what's being said, change the conversation. And the sugar industry most definitely did not like what was being said. So they began funding research that would divert attention away from the notion that reducing sugar intake was crucial to preventing cavities. The International Sugar Research Foundation, ISRF, a precursor to today's Sugar Association, began funding research into cavities, trying to push researchers away from the idea of reducing sugar intake and focusing instead on finding a vaccine against the disease, according to documents summarized in a 2015 report in the journal PLOS Medicine. The ISRF orchestrated a massive outreach to leading scientists, eventually setting up its own task force. By the time the first NIDR Caries Task Force Steering Committee was established in 1969, only one of the 9 committee members wasn't already affiliated with the ISRF. And by the time the National Caries Program was launched in 1971, the idea of reducing sugar intake was pretty much poo-pooed. About 40% of the NCP's report was taken verbatim or closely paraphrased from the ISRF.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?